whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You know I love God, that was good, Benjamin. Hank says we need a Ben and Woods karaoke party. That is a freaking fantastic idea. I mean, a fantastic idea. Did I ever tell you guys about what they had back in Dallas? Rock and Roll Karaoke was the name of it. And it was at this bar by my house where they had an actual band, a bass player, a guitar player, and a drummer, and a microphone. And you sign up, and you could go up and sing. It wasn't karaoke with the little bouncing ball. You're with a band. And it was undoubtedly the coolest thing I've ever... It was so rad to go up and be like, all right, let's do David Bowie Heroes. And they just... And they just start playing it, and you're like... I wish I could swim, and you're singing.
I mean, greatest thing, but also sometimes the worst thing, right?
So cool. No, it was just awesome.
Was everyone good? Or
no, I mean, not everyone was good, but like you get to play with a band, and that's something totally different than going up and being like, all right, hello, I'm going to do, you know, Total Eclipse of the Heart now and follow the bouncing ball. Playing with a band was cool. That'd be a fun Ben and Woods party to put something like that together.
Sounds like the idea they came up with at the end of Step Brothers, karaoke and roll.
Karaoke and roll, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really, really
fun.
We do
know Bobby Cressy.
We do. He could play anything.
He has a band. And
yep.
He's a very talented musician. So
he can play anything.
We may be able to make that happen at some point.
Man, that was a good bit you just did, though. I'm very proud of you.
Appreciate
That's an A+.
Thank you.
A+.
Appreciate that. So I've earned my Aztec stock.
I mean, I want to talk some Aztecs,
too.
That was
too.
Great.
I'm too sexy for my cat. Too sexy for my cat. Poor pussy. Poor pussy cat. I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy
for really
my love.
Got into
Love's
it.
Gonna leave me. And I'm too sexy for this song.
That's it. Gavin has already... cut and paste me onto the music video. If you want to go to my X feed, I have retweeted that, so you can see me on Right Said Fred.
Does he have the shirt with all the
mesh
hole?
Shirt? And they pull it off.
Mesh. Yeah,
yeah.
We got to find you a mesh shirt. We really do. We actually need to all come in one day in those mesh shirts. Mesh Shirt Wednesday. We'll just do it and just wear mesh shirts.
I'm not really in the business of eradicating our viewers and listeners, though. Nobody wants that.
I don't know.
Maybe 1 hour of one day in one year.
But it could be
I don't
a bet.
Want Mesh Shirt Wednesday.
Be a thing. We could do, if you lose a bet, you have to do the whole show in a mesh shirt. I'm fine with that.
I saw...
All right, how about this? We're doing Pick'em later.
All right.
Loser of Pick'em has to
mesh
do it.
Shirt mesh shirt for an hour.
Mesh shirt for an hour.
Tried that a while back. I was looking at our montage video reel that plays during commercial breaks, and we did the Christmas message, like, hey, you know, happy holidays or whatever, a couple of years back, and me and Ben were wearing holiday sweaters. I'll be funny.
Yeah.
But holiday sweaters. And you were wearing the Blake Shelton t-shirt.
Blake Shelton
that we
t-shirt.
Found in the
like
prize
a,
closet.
That was a small.
Yeah. Small, medium, whatever.
I just, no kidding, over the break, because I do the clean out, I just threw it away. I didn't throw it away. I donated it. But I just got rid of it out of my closet. I had it for 2 years, sitting there, skin tight Blake. I looked at it and I go, I'm never wearing this again. I need this bad juju out of my closet. All right, Benny, let's get into it, man.
Aztecs had some bad juju the first, well, I don't know, about 8-9 minutes of the game last night against Air Force, a team that has not won at Viejas Arena in almost 20 years. And they came out, and they were kicking the Aztecs' butt up and down the court. It was 20-8 at one point, and you go on. I mean, I know the Aztecs can come back from this, but this would be a devastating home loss against a 3-win team. If they don't figure it out quickly... This is potentially a catastrophic game for San Diego State. Brian Dutcher calls a timeout. And I think this is important to note because it was like 11 minutes left. The next time the ball went out of bounds or there was a foul or anything, they were going to a media timeout anyway. So he like said, I don't care that they're going to charge me with a timeout here. I need to make a point. I need to bring my players over and change their mindset. Whatever he said may go down as the greatest coaching minute in the history of college basketball, because they went from down 20-8, and over the next 23 minutes of the game into the second half, went on a 40-4 run against Air Force. 40-4. It was nuts, and it wasn't just, you know, all the shots were going in. They were getting dunks. B.J. Davis had an 11-0 run on his own coming out of halftime. That was just impressive. The Air Force coach at the end of the game, Joe Scott, said, "Bottom line, they're just better than us."
Jared Coleman Jones with a great quote. He said, "Coach Dutch, he pretty much just gives you a look. You already know coming into the huddle that, hey, lock in. We are not playing to our standards right now." And, they came out, Benny, absolutely on fire. Again, Miles Byrd really helped kind of get with that.
You know, that's 7 points, I know, which is crazy.
And they were talking about it on the broadcast. He actually started the game like 1-for-5. And they're like, yeah, but that's misleading. And that's kind of the weird thing about sports. If you just look at numbers, right? If you just looked at the numbers after the game, you go, oh, Miles Byrd had an off night. They were talking about everything he was doing other than scoring to help that team keep its energy, its momentum. Watching that dude play, that dunk that he threw down was just phenomenal. Had another steal, was nullified immediately, or he would have gone on back-to-back insane dunks. They're talking about him last night, and we've seen a little bit of pub recently about NBA scouts are taking notice. NBA scouts are taking notice of Miles Byrd right now. We were texting about it last night. What's the offer that kid's getting? How hard is it going to be to keep Miles Byrd here?
I mean, if Lamont Butler reportedly got, what was it, you know, $600,000 to go to Kentucky, you got to figure it's at least something like that. If he doesn't go to the NBA next year, Paul, right. I said, yeah, I mean, maybe he declares for the draft. I thought he definitely had at least one more year in college in him, but he has taken such a big leap forward this year.
I was talking to some friends about that as well yesterday, and somebody made a good point. You know, if and when Reese Waters comes back this season, that could impact. Maybe you see a little bit of a decline in Miles Byrd's numbers. And, you know, at the end of the year, it's a good year, but not maybe as great of a year as it kind of seems.
Yeah.
If Reese Waters comes in and gets those minutes back and performs like we expect him to, all of a sudden, maybe you do keep Miles Byrd for one more year.
Yeah, maybe.
They were saying on the broadcast that only, I think, two players on the roster that play at least currently this year won't be returning or eligible to return next year.
So
the whole team, they could run it back next year, essentially.
Yeah.
With experience. You know, with chemistry.
What the color analyst was yesterday, he said this could be a top 10 team all year next year.
Yeah, it was Casey Jacobson, the former Stanford player who was doing the color commentary on FS1. He also said Miles Byrd's going to win the Mountain West Player of the Year award. That's going to give him a lot of notoriety, though. And again, there is going to be Kentucky's, the North Carolina's, Duke's. They're going to come with big offers. I'm sure that, you know, Brian Dutcher, with that $1 million tournament and everything, they put together a war chest to try to keep some of these players, but you're not going to be able to keep everybody in this new era of NIL. You're going to lose players. You're going to lose players to the NBA. But if there's some way, Paulie, that they can keep this unit together. They look like a tournament team this year. Who knows, how far they can go. But if they can bring back almost everybody next year and add a healthy Reese Waters, all right, yeah, you're talking about a team that's coming back as a national title contender next year, I think. Top 10, top 15 in the country.
Yeah, it was Wayne McKinney and there was one
Jared Coleman Jones, yeah, I think, JCJ. is the other one.
Those are the two that play now, that aren't eligible to come back next year. Everybody else, at least 1 year of eligibility left. You're like, dude.
I mean, so many freshmen that are doing so well, and you they're only going to get better. Farrell Compton, Taj DeGorville. I mean, Magoon. Their games are going to get more refined, more subtle as they go forward, and they're only going to get more athletic and explosive as well.
Yeah. Get that money into the collective. Right? Get that money into the collective.
Your part.
Make that donation to the collective, because this is a team I like watching a ton and would love to see. You know, obviously, you got to see how the rest of the season plays out. But, yeah, you look at it on paper, and we know better than to judge things on paper. But you look at it on paper, like Paulie just mentioned, and you think, we don't have Reese Waters yet. Like, get Reese Waters back. Get him in the mix. You know, some of these minutes are going to suffer, but, like, you got a guy that can score, and then you got Byrd on the other side. Like, it's the sky's the limit for this team. They're just, yeah, I was with you guys. I texted you guys one word. I said, fun. After Air Force is draining threes and we're turning the ball over, I go, this is fun. And next thing you know, man, just an obliteration of Air Force.
And what they did was they took advantage of their athleticism and size. And the offensive rebound numbers were clearly the huge difference in the game. Final offensive rebound total, San Diego State 24, Air Force 2. Including 10 offensive rebounds, 10 for Jared Coleman-Jones in his 14 rebounds total. They had pretty much unlimited chances to score. They go down, they miss, doesn't matter. They get the rebound, they miss again, they get the rebound again. Eventually, you are going to score when you have unlimited opportunities at the basket. So San Diego State ends up winning 67-38.
They covered.
They did cover. They're now 3-1. It was under. We talked about that yesterday.
Was it under?
The under. Yeah. Under hits. Well, 38 points is not much.
You're going to need more than that from
a Division I team.
You know who didn't cover?
USD.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga did not cover. I would say USD played one of their best games of the season. They played great against San Diego State, and they played really well against Gonzaga. Hit 11 threes. Were able to at least keep kind of up there with Gonzaga scoring. They lost 93-80, but much closer game than people were expecting up in Spokane against that team that's ranked number 18 in the country.
Line was 29.5.
It feels like USD plays Gonzaga pretty well.
And San Diego State. They get up for the big games. It's the other games that they've had some struggling with. So
that was one of the most insane runs I've ever seen in a basketball game.
Oh, yes, 44.
I mean, yeah. What was it? It was 20-8.
20-8.
Air Force.
At one point.
And the next time, like before you knew it, it was
48-24.
And then they finally scored again. Yeah. 36 minutes of real time. Between points, they had free throw
and they had a goaltending, but between the ball actually going in the basket, it was 36 minutes of real time elapsed.
God. That is unbelievable.
Between it looked like a varsity team taking on a JV team, for a large portion of that game.
Unreal.
San Diego State now goes on the road for a very big game. New Mexico is undefeated in the Mountain West.
Mama, when's that one?
It's Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Oh,
it's
right.
The early start, and it's at the Pit, which is a tough arena to play. I don't think anyone on the Aztecs has played there, because I don't think they went last year. It was like the one they missed or something. So they have to go. It's at altitude. I don't know if people know this, but Albuquerque, I think, is like 5,000 feet. It's not quite Wyoming or Colorado, but it's, you know,
it's something.
It's long, you know, challenging on the lungs as well.
This is a tough
road game, tough time. And again, it's a nationally televised game, again, on main CBS right before an NFL playoff game. So probably going to have as many eyeballs on the Aztecs as you're going to have all season for this game. And hopefully they can carry over some of the momentum from the win at Boise State and then the win last night against Air Force and play another good game on Saturday at New Mexico. And if they do, then they'll be right back near the top of the conference with Utah State going forward. So they'll pretty much erase that loss.
Good.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Don't Do This is coming up next. There was a video circulating yesterday of someone who works at my television role, sports reporter anchor, doing an in-studio hit.
Yeah, just a quick hit, and there was a little bit of something in the background that, he's wearing it for right now. We need to talk about that. You gotta close your browser sometimes.
Yeah, we'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't Do This.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. For more info, you get that. It's don't, and then it's do on the copy there. Because we do don't do this.
And do.
And then do this. Very cleverly done. I'm going to start. And usually I try to stay away from these things because everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
And we obviously make them.
I mean, speak for yourself.
We point them out. We laugh at them. They're going to happen in any line of work.
We do it to ourselves, though. So I always feel fine doing it because we always make fun of ourselves.
And I don't want anyone to get overly offended that we're going to point it out, but I saw it yesterday on social media. It was making the rounds that someone at the local newspaper, the Union Tribune, made a pretty bad typo, and it came in a headline about Matt, well, Seidler and his letter, you know, responding to the lawsuit, except instead of S-E-I-D-L-E-R, the headline spelled it S-E-I-G-L-E-R.
Matt Seidler.
Siegler, maybe?
Siegler. The D and the G are very close to each other.
They are. They're two-way. It can happen. Every media outlet has less people than it used to. And then newspapers used to have probably like five people who would triple check that before it went to the printer. But now they don't. You know, it's a lot of it's just done and it gets sent and someone missed it. And, you know, you kind of have to laugh. You know, you wish it didn't happen. I'm sure they're all feeling like, oh, that was awful.
It was in such big, bold print, too. It wasn't in, like, the byline. It wasn't in, like, the article.
No.
It was the headline. Yeah.
Siegler.
And it jumps off the page at you. Now, it's like our radio station. We've never tweeted anything misspelled or inaccurate.
And nowadays, you know, most things are online. You see a misspelling, you just change it, and it's fine. But there still are some printed copies out there, and this one did get out there yesterday, so...
Siegler.
Jamie Lynn Siegler. Remember?
Yeah, that's spelled differently. But
from The Sopranos.
Yeah, I do remember her.
All right. I know you're excited about this story.
Well, listen, this also, I would imagine, happens to the best of us, but there's a gentleman by the name of Jake Gaydon, and he is a sports guy at CBS Sacramento, proud Cronkite ASU alum, and he was doing a little hit yesterday talking about Antonio Pierce, and he was sitting at his news desk, his sports desk, I guess, and he had kind of turned over to do the you know, front-facing camera shot, and they kind of zoomed out, and on his one of his many, many computer screens was a woman in red lingerie, a very attractive woman. Turns out that it was Rihanna, just right there on his, I mean, as big and as clear as day, there was a picture of Rihanna in some very sexy red lingerie. So people obviously saw it and said...
Now, this wasn't a personal photo that he had taken.
No. I mean, no. This had been making the rounds, I guess. Was it an ad? What was it?
She had posted something the other day. She has a clothing line, and it was the Valentine's Day line or whatever.
Lingerie. You might want to pick something up.
Valentine's is around the corner?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess... He probably could have taken that off his screensaver or whatever it was.
I don't think it's screensaver, Paulie. That's different than an article. It looks like he's on Facebook, maybe? And maybe it just populated the feed?
He wasn't on OnlyFans.
Correct. He wasn't on CornTub.
It was somebody with 150 million plus followers on Instagram posted a picture for her clothing line. She's a major, major celebrity, and he was looking.
So I've done a couple of these in the past where you sit at your desk and I bring the camera to you, and I will say that I have been pretty careful to what's on my screens? When I know I'm going to be live on television, what's on the background screens?
I do think about that. The first thing I thought about was, all right, if this were Ben, number one, we'd have a lot more fun with it than Jake is having. He's not having fun with it. He doesn't like this. He's been untagging himself in every reference to it. If I had a minute to have his ear, I would say, buddy, this is one you just have to wear. It wasn't porn or anything. It's a woman in lingerie. It was an ad. You got to just lean into it, right? So you know we would have forced you to lean into it. You would have had zero choice in the matter. But I thought, what would have been on Ben's screen? If it were Ben that was sitting there doing this, it would have been like Brian Dutcher shirtless at the beach, just out with his family.
Why would I be looking at Brian Dutcher shirtless at the beach?
You tell me.
I mean, I do like Brian Dutcher a lot. But.
Who else? What?
J.J. Reddick.
Steve Kerr.
I think it would mostly be overhead shots of golf courses.
Golf courses? I wonder.
Really sexy golf courses.
Drone videos.
Drone videos of golf courses.
I would like to know how much company time he sucks up over at Channel 10 by scrolling golf course drone shots on YouTube while he's supposed to be working. That is something I would like to monitor.
What's the like allowable amount? Like in a regular 8-hour day?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm sure bosses will say, well, zero. You know, you get your 15-minute break, do what you want. The rest of the time you should be working. We all take, you know, little chunks to go and, you know, surf the internet for a few minutes, right?
I mean, I do it in the middle of our segments sometimes.
What's the allowable percentage of time that you can be just kind of goofing off and taking your mind off of your work?
Depends on the gig. If you're a surgeon, not much.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not much.
An astronaut? Probably shouldn't be on your phone.
So, oh my God, did you guys see this meme? They're like, bro, we are orbiting the moon right now. Like, get your S together. I don't know. I mean, when I was in sales.
I mean, I'd say I'm close to 5 to 10% of my day is not that efficient.
I would guess more. I think you're trying to make yourself look better.
All right, fine. 15% of my day.
Probably 25 to 30%.
I don't think it's that high.
Really?
No, I don't think it's that
high.
Bro,
you have your hits on
the
news.
Well, a lot of what I do is surfing like sports on the internet.
You have
to. I consider that work. Other people in other jobs, that would be their time off. For me, I consider that part work. So.
Kevin says, if you get your work done, who cares? I'm with you 100%. If I was your boss, and I'd be like, bro, the minute your work suffers, yeah, then we got to do a deep dive.
But couldn't you always be doing more work? If, hey, you got all my work done in 6 hours, you got 2 more hours, you can get more done for our company.
You can make more calls.
Yeah.
Bro, I worked in you guys have seen the movie Boiler Room. I've told this story before, but if you've seen the movie Boiler Room, I worked in that kind of environment with the earpiece and the phone calls that I had to make on a daily basis. We had a number that we needed to hit. They charted them. I'd see my little squirrel boss sitting at his desk first thing in the morning like this with yesterday's report with a highlighter.
Oh my God.
Highlighting. That's a local call. And I didn't have a local territory. So that's 214 number. And he would do it. Then he'd get his little calculator out, and he'd punch it up. All right, Woods, you had 69 dials for 2 hours and 14 minutes yesterday. What the F were you doing all day at work? And you sit there, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. Chances are I was looking at Rihanna in lingerie. But this guy's not having fun with it right now at all. He's not. You got to lean into it, man. You just have to.
Soup Can Harry says 6 hours of work out of 8 is a good day.
That's a real good day.
Now, if it was something more, you know, inappropriate.
Yes.
That I can understand him being absolutely in the blender. Like, 100%. That sucks. You probably lose your job. Like,
yeah.
That sucks. This was nothing. This was one of the biggest
stars
on the planet.
In an ad.
On their own ad.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
It's just a little story. I thought it was unique. Even Reddit calls it mildly interesting. So the Indiana Pacers last night set right now an unbreakable NBA record.
Oh, I knew you'd like this.
When they put out on the court a lineup of Tyrese Haliburton, Benedict Mathurin, Obi Toppin, Andrew Nembhard, and Thomas Bryant. And the reason why it can never be broken, it was lowest total of numbers, jersey numbers, ever on the court at the same time. Haliburton 0, Mathurin 00, Toppin 1, Nembhard 2, Thomas Bryant 3. You're not allowed to have a 000 as your number, so that's the lowest, 6 is the lowest combination of uniform numbers you can put on the court at any one time, and they did it.
It's a good bit.
Last night.
Did they start? That was the starting lineup?
They were all at the line. They may have all started, yeah, I think they did. So there's your lineup of 0, 0. 00, 1, 2, and 3.
And this was the Pacers?
This was the Pacers.
How are they playing this season?
They are, I believe, middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. If I want to check a look at the standings, your Indiana Pacers, Woods, are, they are 6th in the Eastern Conference, 20-18 right now.
Yeah, they're still in a playoff spot right now if the season ended today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 20-18. Doing bits, though. I like that. It's good.
And that's Don't and Do Do This for a Thursday.
That
was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We got Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports coming up. We're going to preview the college football semifinals to begin tonight. First, though, here's Woods.
Are you heading into this year, or are you already in this new year, with the same old joint pain in your knees, your hips, your back, your shoulder, your wrists, which was my case when I went and made the decision to go in and get the treatments at QC Kinetics? You can make the decision now to say, no, I'm not doing this year. I want to feel better. I want to get back to playing golf or riding my bike or surfing or swimming, anything, man, that your pain is keeping you from doing. So get moving again in 2025 with help from QC Kinetics. I went, I did it. It worked for me. I couldn't be happier with the results. So you can also revitalize your joints with advanced orthobiologic treatments at QC Kinetics, the future of medicine. They use an array of natural solutions like PRP to attack the pain from arthritis. I've gotten treatment on my knee as well. So if you've got pain in your knees, I'm telling you, this is so, so good and so effective. Tens of thousands of people with pain have discovered these cellular treatments and are living life again without that constant pain in their joints. So call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation. Couple different locations, one in Torrey Hills, one in Hillcrest. Deal with joint pain now. You can make the most of the new year. Get back to doing what you love. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN.
Appreciate all the tier ones. We were talking about how much time are you really allowed to goof off and surf the internet at work without being a bad employee. All the tier ones who said, well, I mean, the first, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours of my day are spent watching Ben and Woods. So hopefully that's okay.
I love you guys for that.
We do.
Sorry to your bosses for sucking out productivity, but it makes me very happy.
I also like Nicholas with a K who says, how many people thought Ben was a guest?
Yeah, that's
guest host today. No, it's just my scratchy voice. I'm just getting over the laryngitis. So we're going to talk some college football right now. Woodsy's wearing his green. For his Notre Dame Fighting Irish, he will be pulling hard for the Golden Dome tonight. It's been way too long since we've been joined by our friend Dennis Dodd for CBS Sports covering college football. Dennis, it's great to have you back on here on San Diego and Ben and Woods. How are you?
Enjoying, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on again here in snowy Dallas for the Cotton Bowl.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was talking to some friends. I'm from that area. They said they were off work the next couple of days, going to be hunkered down, you know, stocking up on the bottled waters, on all that stuff that they always do. I grew up in that environment, Dennis. So stay safe out there. Nobody knows how to drive on those roads, so you know.
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of start here with you. We had kind of a mini debate on Monday when we came back from the break, and we were talking about my co-host Ben said, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have 12 teams, but the games have all been terrible. I've loved it personally.
No, there was one good game.
I've loved it personally. I mean, I am a Notre Dame fan. If I take those glasses off, though, I really have loved seeing so many teams get their opportunity to, well, some of them get waxed in the playoffs just like they do in the NFL. And it just, I've loved it so far. What are your overarching thoughts?
I'm going to come off as a CFP honk, but I think it's been great. I thought the season was enhanced. I wrote a story on November 1st saying, like, on November 1st, there were literally 45 or 50 teams still in the hunt. And I ran that by the commissioners that modeled this thing. Like, Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, Bob Bowlsby, Big 12, Craig Thompson at the Mountain West. They said, yep, that's kind of what we thought it would be. And so how fun has that been? The games meant more. I think on the back end, obviously now we're going to have a champion that didn't win its league. But I think this thing, as it expands, and it will in a couple of years, it's going to be more like the NFL. Do we care if the Super Bowl champion won its division?
No.
It's all about seeding and getting home field. And there's a little bit of that here. Yeah, obviously, you have the first round games. But this has been fantastic. You know, the victory margin, nothing you can do about that. I thought the right teams got in. And as I pointed out after those bad first round games, in the 20 semifinal games previous in the history of the CFP, this is nothing new. The games are decided by an average of like 17, 18, 19 points. So this is nothing new. It's just the function of the games. Maybe they'll hit a run when they're all close. I don't know.
And to be fair, Dennis, I like the playoff. It's just this one's been bad. Sometimes they just don't, you know, come up with good games. I would
settle down.
I would not guarantee the conference champions the top four seeds. I'd do it like the NCAA tournament, where you just pick your best four teams at the end of the year and make them the top four seeds. You know, Ohio State, I think, is the most interesting story. 2 weeks ago, people were talking about firing Ryan Day, possibly. Oh, yeah. And now they seem like they're prohibitive favorites to win the national title. What, in your mind, changed between the Michigan game and the playoffs for Ohio State? And do you think they'll keep it going, or could that, you know, flip again in the next couple of games?
Yeah, no, they're the hottest team right now. They've got the two best players of the tournament so far. Will Howard, the quarterback, the highest-rated passer in the playoffs. Jeremiah Smith, the receiver, who killed Oregon, is probably the MVP at this point. I mean, what happened? I think they have a Michigan problem. I think they're an elite team that could be national champions in any given year, but they've got a Michigan problem. I was at the Michigan game, 13-10. They decided with best receivers in the country, with some of the best running backs in the country, to run the ball in the middle of the line against Michigan's strength, which is their defensive line, to like prove a point. Right? We're not soft.
Yeah.
We can beat these guys up physically. Before they knew it, they lost 13-10, big fight, embarrassing. What happened was they cleared the decks mentally at a team meeting, I think the next day or that Monday. And, you know, I'm not big on team meetings changing a team's outlook. Whenever I hear a baseball team do that, I go, okay. But this one worked. They all rededicated themselves. They, you know, they won the first game by 25 over Tennessee. And I think that cleared a mental hurdle to the point that we can do anything we want. Now, did I expect them to beat Oregon? Yes, I did. I picked them. In fact, I picked them to win the whole thing. I didn't expect them to go up 34-0 in boat race Oregon. And I think that's the thing that has come now. They're playing free and easy. Ryan Day, no pressure. The Michigan thing is gone for now. Unless he, you know, less than 11 months from now, if he loses the fifth straight to Michigan, that might be a thing. That's why I wrote this week. He ought to go out, win or lose, the next 2 weeks on his own terms. Just say, screw you guys. You can go to the NFL. You can go do TV for a couple of years. But, boy, the crap that was laid on him after Michigan, his kids were crying on the field after that. Nobody needs that. Not for $9 million a year. I don't care.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point that you make. And, I mean, it's like those coaches, sometimes they're brought in to win those games, and those games specifically. I think Brian Kelly was a guy that was brought into Notre Dame to win the big games. And Marcus Freeman has won so many more big games than him. How do you handicap tonight's game, Dennis? And I say this as an Irish fan that is – yeah, you know, I'm carrying around a little barf bag in my backpack today. I'm as nervous as I've ever been. I believe in the team. I love watching them. They're playing together, but a couple days less to prepare. A little banged up as well. How do you handicap tonight's game?
Yeah, exactly. A week since they played. Marcus Freeman right now is one of the best coaches in the country, but he's also a coach who lost to Stanford, Marshall, and Northern Illinois.
Yep.
He's turned that around. They have the nation's longest winning streak. I like Notre Dame because I think it's hard to nail them down. It's like trying to hold water. They don't do anything great. They're really good defensively. The 11, the back seven are really good. They have injuries up front. 26 of their 50 points, guys, in the playoffs have come to be a special teams. And I think that's been a plus for them. Like their longest, they had one touchdown drive in the Georgia game. It was 13 yards. Everything else, a kickoff return,
yep,
extra points, field goal, there you go, and a good defense. I think that's what's going to play out in this Penn State game. I just think they're on a roll like Ohio State. I love Riley Leonard. What was the criticism against Notre Dame in the past? Didn't have elite athletes on the edge. Didn't have a quarterback. Well, Riley Leonard didn't throw for 100 yards and led them in rushing. But that's about what they need right now, because the defense can take care of everything else. So I really like them. I like them to suffocate Penn State tonight, which has probably got the best offense right now in the tournament. They got a pair of, you know, guys who've gone for 200 yards total in these two games.
Yeah, it's funny watching the Georgia game. You heard the commentator say, well, it looks like Notre Dame finally has some SEC speed. And it was evident. You know, it really was. And some of the guys that have come in to replace some of the injured guys have had monster contributions. And again, the coaching part for me, as a guy that grew up as a fan and I've seen them all come and go, is very, it's very, very refreshing to see how hard these guys play for Coach Freeman.
Yeah, there's a guy, one of the examples, this receiver number six, Faison.
Faison.
He's their second, Faison, third. second or third leading receiver in the regular season. But he's been a revelation in the playoffs. I think he's caught 12 balls total, 9 of them for first down. Yep. He's not doing any, you know, zone beaters or anything like that. He's getting the ball and getting first downs. And when you've got a team like that, where in a playoff like this, where every possession means so much, that's important. Now, Jeremiah Love now looks like he's healthy. He touched the flu last week. If they get him going, they're going to be fine. I just like Notre Dame's brutality right now. I think they're going to out-physical Penn State.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, enjoy the games. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Dennis, he likes Notre Dame tonight against Penn State. And I want to talk to Woods, though, about something that James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, brought up yesterday that I knew was going to get under the skin of Notre Dame fans. And we're gonna battle about this because I know we have very different perspectives. But
guess what tired trope it is?
I think you've got the tired trope, actually.
Oh, do I?
We'll get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So yesterday when they were having the coaches news conference for the Notre Dame-Penn State game, James Franklin, the coach of the Nittany Lions, was just kind of riffing about, you know, hey, it's great to be here in the semifinals representing our schools and our conferences. And then he kind of caught himself and he looked at Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame, and he goes, our conference, excuse me. And they followed up on that. And, you know, obviously the implication was, well, you know, Notre Dame is still an independent. They don't play in a conference. And James Franklin went out to lay down the argument that I do agree with. That, and listen to me, Woods, because I know you're going to push back. But in the modern game of college football, if you're going to do a playoff, if you're going to guarantee conference champions a spot in that playoff, you really need to put all the teams in more of a level way of how they operate the season. You can't just have a team that just does its own thing and then you try to integrate them at the end. It doesn't work anymore for Notre Dame just to have their own schedule.
It's literally working. You're watching it work. You're watching it work. They're one of the last four teams. By the way, they can never have a bye. Ever. They never get a bye.
I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to work against Notre Dame. It might work for them. It might work against them. If they had lost another game, you know, a close one,
they're out. That's the risk.
But they might still have been one of the top 12 teams in the country, and had they been in a conference, they would have had a chance to still win their conference championship and get in.
But that's the risk that they are capable of taking. It sounds very sour grapes to say, you have to do it like we do it, when in fact, they've proven they don't. They absolutely do not. Okay, conference champions, so important. How did Ohio State do in their conference championship? They didn't play it. They didn't play one. They shouldn't be there? They have to play an extra game. They can never get a bye.
How did the conference champion do in the playoffs?
Right.
They lost.
It's also, and you know, the schedule that Notre Dame plays, it makes it very hard to... Even you didn't know how good Notre Dame was.
No, God, no. But
because they didn't play a comparable schedule to anybody else. When you play whether it's an SEC, a Big Ten, or even an ACC schedule, you can look and see, okay, they've all played the same teams over the year, and here's how they all did. And there's a frame of reference. When you play just a random schedule, sometimes the teams you'll play will be good.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, USC sucks this year.
That's the risk.
Syracuse sucks this year. Then... But we have no idea if they're any good or
not. That's the risk they take. And again, it's not for everyone. Well, actually, any team, they're not doing anything that any other team couldn't do. They're not doing what Penn State did for many, many years until they finally said, we're not good enough. We have to join this conference.
That was 1992 that they joined the Big Ten finally.
We have to do it. We have to. They can't support themselves. Now, the risk they run, Ben, is if the program does go really, really south, the money dries up, the TV deal goes away, and then, yeah, maybe they have not been pushed to that yet.
Ultimately, I think it goes beyond just Notre Dame, though. I don't want to pick on Notre Dame, but when you operate a season in a playoff, like NFL teams don't get to just make up their own schedule. Major League Baseball teams don't just get to make up their own schedule. It's codified who you're going to play It's just a much more fair way to establish it. And I, you know, that's the same thing with college basketball. Part of the game. Dutcher's good at it. You know, certain coach Saban seemed to work the system pretty well. He knew exactly how many tough opponents and cream puffs he could schedule through the year. But it really shouldn't be up to the coaches to, like, game the system every year with their schedule. Someone like the NCAA, College Football Playoff, there should be a governing body and just goes, here's your schedule, like they do in Major League Baseball, like they do in the NFL, in the NBA. Someone hands you the schedule, and then you play the schedule you're handed. It's not about crafting your schedule in a way that's going to look good to a committee at the end of the season.
But they're, and I know you like things in a nice, neat package, but let me tell you, if you were a fan of a school that could pull this off, you'd be a fan of it, just like I am. You get the $14 million for making this, you don't have to whack it up with your conference buddies. You don't. And who doesn't like that? If you're a fan of that school, who doesn't want that? Would you like the Aztecs to be in that position? Yes. Of course you would. You'd be beating your chest if Aztecs basketball were like, no, we don't have to do this. We got all this money coming in. We don't have to share it with anybody. We don't. And so,
how is that any different than the Dodgers having a giant TV deal and the Padres having no TV deal?
It's really not.
It shouldn't be that way, though. We don't like it in baseball. We shouldn't like it in college football either, where certain teams have massive TV deals and other schools are barely scraping by.
There should be
more of a level playing field for everybody.
So you're telling me that it's not a level playing field?
Financially, no, it's
because
not.
They don't have to. Think about it. How many teams in the SEC, for example, how many teams, Benny, you know, paid their players? How many SEC teams have huge, huge collectives? That's not fair to SDSU, but it is the way that it is because it's the SEC. It just means more in the SEC, Ben. I guess the point. Look, a nice, tidy, to get this talking point off of the table would be great, but until you have to do it, why do it?
I think ultimately we've gotten to the point where the NFL is the only league that I think really puts everybody on an equal playing field with a salary cap, with a national TV deal that's shared with everybody.
Yeah.
It comes down. The teams that are the smartest, that hire the best, that draft the best, that develop the best, that coach the best, and have the best players win. And I can't say that about college football.
No. Never.
I would like it to be more that
way. If Notre Dame joins the ACC, you know what will happen then? Oh, the old overhyped Notre Dame. They're playing a weak ACC schedule, which happens to be down that year.
Let's join the Big Ten.
They schedule these games years and years and years in advance. And I think, you didn't know USC was going to be terrible this year. You didn't know Miami was going to drop out. You didn't know FSU was going
to
be
have to schedule games. I mean, the Aztecs have a game against, Kansas scheduled in 2035. You shouldn't have to do that. You should have someone who hands you the schedule at the beginning of the year. Here's who you play. We've determined a pretty fair schedule.
So you hate all tradition and rivalries then.
More tradition in college football. You're deluding yourself.
No.
It's over. NIL.
It's not.
It's over.
It's not over.
It's just a business like the rest of sports.
You say with NIL. You've been making this tired argument probably for 40 years since you were aware of college football. Notre Dame needs to join a conference. Okay, my question to you is, why? If you don't have to do it, why would you do it? There's no reason other than to make the masses happy. If you can run that like they do and still be where they are tonight, why would you?
All right, what if every school decided, we don't want a conference?
The Wild West,
just
baby.
The Wild West. Nothing but independence.
Is it not now when you have teams and,
Yeah, it might as well be.
It might as well
be. Everyone gets your own TV deals, your own schedules every single year.
But, the conference champion thing is like, all right, well, I mean, Ohio State's probably going to win the national championship. They didn't win championship.
I don't even love conference championships. Get rid of them. Play your conference, regular season winner, and then the committee puts in the best teams like they do in the NCAA tournament.
I'd be fine with it. Well, I know where your allegiance lies tonight.
I'm actually not against Notre Dame.
It's hard to not like Marcus.
I don't love
Freeman.
Penn State either.
I don't either. Never have.
All right, we'll find out tonight who emerges. Either way, the first black head coach will ever make it to a national championship
game. That's right.
Whoever wins this game tonight. All right, we'll come back. We've got a pro golfer. We've got real or fake, all coming up in our 8 o'clock hour on The Fan.